Let's bring in Shai Davidi of Sportsnet. Shai, thanks so much for joining us. As you point out, probably on Twitter, the announcement confirms what, you know, has been known for weeks. I'm sure those of you who've been on the road with John have had plenty of opportunities to talk to him off the record. You know, certainly we've had some conversations on the record. Well, let me ask you this. At what point do you think both sides came to the conclusion that the time was right?
Well, you know, I think there was a scenario earlier in the season, you know, June-ish, where, you know, the Blue Jays might have considered a managerial change then, and ultimately, for whatever reason, they decided not to. But, you know, once the dismantling of the old team really began and it was set, and the path was set towards that, at that point, it started making sense that, you know, if you're changing everything over, you would change the manager as well. And rightly or wrongly, I think John Gibbons was viewed as the right manager for that group, the Josh Donaldson, Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, that group. And as that team started coming apart and coming undone, and they started looking towards the future, you know, my belief was that they wanted someone to grow with that group. And I think that's fair. I think John Gibbons understands that. And, you know, ultimately, you know, you had said about the relationship. I just think that was a relationship that had run its course and really probably lasted a lot longer than anyone might have fairly expected. So, you know, as the rebuild really started, you know, and the teardown was completed, you know, this was the next logical step on that path.
As you point out, this guy's going to have managed over 1,600 games. That's remarkable in this day and age to manage 1,600 games. Yeah, it's remarkable that he got a second chance in you know, with the same organization, albeit different management people, the same organization that fired him. The whole John Gibbons' whole managerial career in a lot of ways has been an outlier, hasn't it? It's just I think maybe Shai that and I'm reading the piece that you have up on Sportsnet.ca. I think if you want to understand John Gibbons the person and why people like John Gibbons, you just have to wrap your head around the fact that in this day and age, John Gibbons was rehired to manage a team that fired him. You know, I think that tells you something about what people think about him and about him as a person.
You know, and even more than that, and this was interesting, you know, I was talking to Kevin Cash recently about him, and Kevin Cash played for John Gibbons just at the beginning when he was named interim manager, and ultimately Kevin Cash lost his job, lost his opportunity with the Blue Jays because he wasn't a good enough player. And he said that what really impresses him about John Gibbons is the way that he's managed to adapt through how players have changed, even from, you know, the 20 years ago when he was starting out in coaching to now, and still be able to connect, motivate, you know, just be relevant with an entirely new group of kids. And that really speaks to his people skills and his enduring popularity. I mean, he has friends in every road city that the Blue Jays go to. People gather around him. You know, they like him. People want to spend time with him. You know, that's one of the greatest compliments you can pay to him. But there's also a deep respect for what he is as a manager and how he competes and how he runs a game and all those things too. So, you know, he's been a lightning rod in a lot of ways during his time with the Blue Jays. I think a lot of that stems from the incidents with Ted Lilly and Shea Hillenbrand way back in 2006, and you know, have kind of tarred and feathered him unfairly to a degree. But you look at the way he's managed his team since 2013, the wide array of difficult personalities and you know, high maintenance players that he's had to manage over that span, and you can argue that very few managers would have been able to succeed under those circumstances.
You know, you make the point. He's going to leave an imprint on this franchise. And I don't know. I guess maybe the trips to the postseason kind of override this. But, you know, those of us who covered the team and remember remember how Alex Anthopoulos felt when the John Farrell situation occurred, and had, you know, talked to Alex for months after that. You know, you really got the sense that there was something. You know, Alex was pissed off. Alex basically felt like he'd been knifed in the back by somebody. I can't put it any other way. And I think a lot of people felt. I thought a lot of media felt that way. I think a lot of people around the organization felt that way. And to me, that's, you know, beyond the other stuff, that's the thing that is going to define John Gibbons' stay with this team, is the fact that he was brought back first and foremost because Alex Anthopoulos thought he was a loyal guy. He was a good baseball man. Alex, you know, understood that. But he also thought this was a loyal guy. I remember him telling me one time, I really do. I feel like I need somebody who has my back here. He was very blunt about it. I feel like I need somebody who has my back here. And that's what I have in John Gibbons. And to me, that's, in a lot of ways, he's going to be like Dwayne Casey with the Raptors. He's going to be the guy that brought a sense of stability that just kind of defined what it meant to be that franchise for that time.
Yeah, 100%. And the chaos that was left in the wake of the end of the Farrell, I mean, that can't be understated. It seems like ancient history now, but
it was a mess. I mean, we were there. It was a freaking mess.
But there was also just so much anger and frustration and that sense of stabbed in the back that you mentioned, not just in the GM's office, but all around the organization, in the clubhouse. You know, there was it was a very difficult period, and you know, I think that there was also a wide disconnect between Anthopoulos and Farrell at that time. It was like, you know, they were just from different planets in the way that they communicated, and they needed someone to come in and be a unifying presence. And you know, that was a clubhouse, you know, that John Gibbons inherited after the big Marlins deal that needed a lot of melding, and that was didn't go well in 2013 because of the injuries and the inability to get consistent pitching. But then, you know, by 2014, some semblance of order started being restored. And then the year after that, they're back in the playoffs and the postseason drought is over. So, you know, John Gibbons was in a lot of ways a unifying force. He was able to be the bridge that managers so often have to be between the clubhouse and the front office, and really just helped clean up what was an awful period for the team.
So where do you think the Jays go from here now with their managerial search? I mean, look, you know, there are a lot of names have been out there. There will be names with Cleveland links, John McDonald, you know, Sean Casey. I mean, I think the success Alex Cora and to a certain degree Aaron Boone have had, and the success, I was going to say A.J. Hinch, that's a little different, but the success Boone and Cora have had really suggests to me, Shai, that whoever gets this job is probably going to be a younger guy with a bit of a pedigree, probably have to be at least mildly fluent in Spanish, and is going to have to be analytically inclined, if not necessarily, you know, an open advocate of it.
Yeah, and I don't think the goal would be to have that with someone who's got some old school baseball in him too. You know, someone who walks those worlds. I mean, you know, if you can clone A.J. Hinch, you know, he'd be a tremendous pick. I mean, a guy who just really has, you know, a feel for all those worlds that you just mentioned, and that's really the challenge these days, is to find someone who can do all those things. That's a trend that, you know, you want to find the person who can blend through all the different disciplines that go into a baseball team right now. But I think the Blue Jays would also like someone who can grow with their group too. You know, it used to be when you get a rebuild, you get that sort of instructional teaching manager to groom your young players, and then you get your ready-to-win manager when that group had moved forward a little bit. But things are a little bit different now, and you want to have a manager who sees progress through with the players, and then is able to push them over the top when the time comes and can just be a stabilizing force there. So, you know, I think that's probably what we'll see. I think we'll probably see a very, very thorough process knowing this front office. It probably won't be quick because, you know, they'll probably run through a gamut of possibilities. And it's going to be really intriguing to watch because, as you put so well at the beginning of the segment, you know, there's going to be a lot riding on this decision.
What's going to be your personal memory of John Gibbons?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if there could be just one. I think it's just his way with people. You know, it's not, you know, a singular moment. It's just he's able to just kind of strike the right vibe for whatever the situation that he's in, you know, and he can be certainly forceful when he needs to, but there's just a real endearing quality to him, and that you never feel like you're being played by him. You never feel like there's a hidden motive or an agenda. There's just a real genuineness to everything about him. And, you know, he puts himself out there. This is who I am. And if you don't like it, that's your problem. And, you know, you tend to appreciate people like that.